Hello and welcome back to Not Just Paleo. I'm your host, Evan Brand. And Dr. Mercola said, Evan, you got to go to Florida. It's the greatest place on the planet. And so that's exactly what I did. And I couldn't have picked a better week. It's actually 6 degrees Fahrenheit with inches of snow in the bluegrass state of Kentucky right now. And it is 82 degrees in South Florida. So I couldn't have picked a better time. And I'm super grateful to be here. I couldn't wait to put this episode up with my new friend, Lloyd Burrell. He's an EMF consultant and expert, not by choice, but by a particular set of circumstances that happened to him from being exposed to cell phone radiation. So we'll talk about what he did to return back to a normal, healthy life. You're really going to enjoy this show. If you want to schedule a 15-minute functional medicine consult with myself for free, go to my website, notjustpaleo.com, and you'll find your menu bar up top, and you can click the calendar link. I look forward to talking with you soon. And enjoy the show.
Lloyd, welcome.
Thank you, Evan. Thanks for the invitation.
So I've been on your website many times. People can check it out, electricsense.com. And I've come across many of your articles looking for solutions myself and looking for videos, which is probably the most helpful part of your website, showing various meters that you've used, exploring different ways that you're exposed to electrical issues, talking about electrical sensitivity, things like that. I'm going to guess you may be a wounded warrior because most of us don't just do this just because. So, how did you get involved with EMF?
Yeah, that's a nice term, a wounded warrior. But who is now no longer wounded? But yeah, that's exactly what brought me into this EMF world, because I wasn't at all interested in this, knowledgeable about this. In fact, I didn't even know what EMFs were really, apart from a vague recollection that perhaps certain of us have from school at physics class. And very simply, what happened to me was one day in 2002, I was going about my life, my job, and the cell phone rang. It was in my pocket. It was working outside. And actually, the cell phones were rather a wonderful thing for me when they came along, because I used to have a holiday rental business. And when the cell phone arrived, I actually was a relatively late adopter. I had my first cell phone in 1998. And it was rather wonderful because all of a sudden I could work outside, because one of these jobs where you're master of doing many things, so jack of all trades, master of none. And I was working outside a lot, and a small business. So the beauty of the cell phone was that I could take calls, people wanting to make bookings for the summer. People could call me, and I could be out working on pipe work, electricity, all that kind of thing, and take calls at the same time. And that's what happened. The phone rang one day, beautiful winter's day, sunny day, and I scrambled out from underneath where I was working, took the cell phone out of my pocket, and started having this conversation. And I began to feel rather strange. That's all we can say, really, initially. A little bit dizzy, not quite sure, just kind of bizarre feeling. And I got to the end of the conversation, and the cell phone rang again a few minutes later, because that's what it was. My job, there's a lot of me receiving calls on this thing, but not particularly making calls, but people were just calling in to make the reservations. And the next call, it went very quickly from a rather unpleasant sensation to a fairly significant pain. And to give you an example, it felt a bit like an electric drill drilling into the side of my ear. And so that was rather unpleasant, as you can imagine. And I kind of, because I'm not a great one, never have been for going to the doctors, but within a few days, I got myself down to the doctor's surgery. And doctor's actually a friend of mine, and he started to pod and poke and give me the once over. And he couldn't really find anything wrong with me. That was the thing. And he says to me, look, Lloyd, it's stress. And I thought, well, I thought, no, it's not. But you're the doctor and I'm willing to believe you. And so he said to me, look, you need to take a week off, you know, just take a break, come back, you'll be fine. So I took his advice and we went to Center Parcs in the north of France, because I live in France on the west coast here. And we went with the kids and everything. And for a week, I was fine. And then I went back to work on the Monday morning. And the first phone call I got, which was at like 9:05, there it was. It started again. And then it was just a slippery, slidey slope, really, because not only was it the cell phone, it was my computer, because we're running a small business with my wife and a very small staff. And so I stopped using the cell phone and started going on the computer more. And the computer was affecting me. The TV was affecting me. When I was out in the car, I was being affected by, I don't know, the electronics in the car, the radio. When I went out shopping, you know, and I stood in the queue by the till there, I was feeling unwell. Friends' house, I was feeling unwell. In my own home, I was feeling unwell. And it got to the point where even the corded landline regular phone, I was getting a reaction to that. And that's how it all started. And that all went on for 2 merry years. And I say merry, not because it was, because the doctor said I was okay, I kind of tried to pretend everything was okay, but everything wasn't okay at all. It was, my symptoms were many and varied. So it was kind of initial symptoms of this heating, burning sensation where I put the phone, prickly skin when I was around computers and electrical devices, massive fatigue. We're talking, could just sleep all night, you know, get like 12 straight hours sleep and then get up and just feel absolutely exhausted. And, you know, so this went on for 2 years and lots of other problems as well, joint problems, intestinal problems, just lots of bizarre symptoms. And I'd say really, I went back to doctors, obviously, and he told me to go to see other specialists and have scans and so on and so forth. And really, they could find nothing wrong with me, but there very clearly was. And I thought I was going crazy because this was 2002. And at that time, nobody really was talking about this. The other thing was, I was in a kind of catch-22 situation because there was very possibly some good information on the internet, but the internet wasn't like it is now. So now you've got some, you know, very bona fide, credible sites where you can see the information, you know, is of good quality. And whereas then it was, it wasn't the case. And also I couldn't really use a computer. So yeah, for 2 years I was like that. And then one day I read in my newspaper, because I used to and still get the Daily Telegraph, which is a kind of a serious British newspaper. It's a bit like the LA Times, I guess, or the New York Times, should I say. Yeah, the New York Times. And I read in there about a guy who couldn't use a cell phone, who couldn't get to sleep at night without switching the electricity off, who couldn't use a computer, who was driving a clapped out old Volvo. And it was basically, this was me, and they put a name to this condition, which was electrical sensitivity. And for me, that was like, whoa, I'm not on my own, eureka. And so that was the turning point, in the sense that I realized there was something, it wasn't all in my head. And I really made a decision to, at that point, to deal with this thing and do something about it. The only problem was there was no solutions out there. And so that was the beginning of my path through this, the EMF world.
That's amazing to me. So you had one event, basically, which we could call it, talking on the cell phone that day, which triggered all of this, you would say. Is that the best way to translate that? Is that it triggered the sensitivity?
It triggered. It was like a bolt from the blue, even. It was like, I say, EMFs, I didn't know what EMFs were. I mean, it was just something I'd heard at school. And then all of a sudden, this thing happened to me, and it just completely knocked me for six. I mean, it was literally from one day to the next, literally one phone call. And yeah, so it was one phone call, and it was something bizarre. And then it was like within several phone calls, it was like, wow, just completely, the water had flown over, filled over the top of the vase kind of thing. And yeah, it was, and really from that point forward, my life has never been the same again.
Wow. Now you say that you're not wounded anymore, so I'm sure there's been a huge change in lifestyle that you've had to make. Do you still own a cell phone now? Do you use it? How do you use
Yeah.
it? Talk us through some of
Well,
this.
the curious thing is already I was living the dream kind of thing because I said now we live in France. We've been living in France for over 20 years. And when I say we was living the dream, let's say we'd left London in 1994, and I trained to be a chartered accountant, which you guys call a CPA in the States. And that was really, and was living in London. So I'm a boy from the north, a small village. And then came down to London, loved it, but kind of fairly quickly kind of grew out of the loving it. And it was the big city and everything, and there was a lot of stress in the big city, with the traveling and everything, just the way the people are. And plus the fact I was doing this pretty tough qualification and working at the same time, because that's a peculiarity of this qualification, is you actually got a full-time job. And then in the evening you got to study, and then in between all that you sit these exams, professional exams. And then at year ends, because companies have their year ends 31st of December, generally you've got all this overtime you have to cram in somewhere. And so, that was a lot of stress. And at that point I was very stressed. I knew what stress was. And so when the doctor said to me, "Look, you're stressed," I was thinking, "Well, I'm not stressed. I was living the dream here. It was 2002. I was living the dream. Just set up my. I'd always dreamed to set up my own business, and I set up my own business in 1997. And you don't make money. You don't sort of make a successful business start making money overnight. It took a few years, but by 2002, things were going really well. Happily married, two kids, just great social life. Living on the coast, jogging on the beach, working out, eating the right food. So I was already living the lifestyle. I was already health conscious and always have been. That's the curious thing. And yet I was totally, unaware of EMFs. And so this was a huge wake-up call. And I couldn't use cell phone my cell phone at all. I stopped using my cell phone. And so basically what happens is I got to the situation where I am today, where I am, touch wood, cured. Although it's not really cured, I was is a term, but I'm no longer symptomatic. And so I no longer react to EMF. So I can I go into environments where, for instance, when we go away, wherever you go now, you've got Wi-Fi. Wherever you go, you've got high EMF environments. And we like to travel. We've been to the States quite a lot for a few years back, and different parts of Europe. And so, yeah. And the way I've achieved that, or one of the ways, the cornerstone, if you want, of my approach is what I call rigorous EMF protection. And that means, well, I can explain what that means if you like, but it's looking at these different categories of EMFs. It's firstly understanding what they are, it's measuring them, and then thirdly, it's possibly shielding.
Yeah, and I've covered EMF on my podcast, I would say maybe a dozen times at this point. So people are really familiar with it. Today, what I want to pick your brain on and suck as much information I can out of your brain is on action steps people can take, because people are well aware of it now. So I want to hear about the most important action steps. So you're saying, rigorous EMF protection. So when you're flying on a plane and you're going from France to the United States, what are you doing to protect yourself in the plane?
Well, it doesn't work like that, unfortunately. It's not that simple. So it's all about what you do before you get on the plane, even. And it's all about creating this lifestyle. It's all about firstly understanding what these EMFs are, And as I say, measuring, because you can understand until the cows come home, until you get an EMF meter and actually start taking the readings, and you get that flashing light and you get that noise, which sounds like a Geiger counter, the thing's absolutely revving its head off, and you're going, wow, I didn't know that I was being exposed to these EMFs like this. And that's really when you begin to take action. And so, yeah, it's looking at these four categories of EMFs, which if you've had other guests on, I'm sure you know what these are, but it's magnetic fields, electric fields, radio frequency radiation, and dirty electricity. And it's about being rigorous in dealing with each of these four categories. Firstly, and this is, you know, and basically there's three things you can do with any EMF source. You either turn it off, you either put more distance between you and the source, or you shield. Simple as that. And that is very, very simply, you know, what I did. But it took me years to do that. And then there's a whole other side to it, which is a holistic approach to health. So looking at really all the aspects of health, looking at nutrition to a certain extent, and also, you know, looking at the toxins, which is, I know what you do, you know, but my approach was a little bit different because, well, I didn't encounter anybody like you with such a panoply of tests, but also energy medicine. And for me, it was really actually one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I always say that I'm blessed that this happened to me, in the sense that if it hadn't, then I'd have been like everybody else and just carried on willy-nilly, not knowing anything about this and kind of hearing stories in the media and thinking, yeah, I should use my cell phone a bit less, I guess, and, you know, should be a bit more careful with the Wi-Fi and things. And maybe that would be as far as it had gone. But I wouldn't have taken all these steps, which I did. And to answer your question about the cell phone, I don't own a cell phone today. Why don't I own a cell phone? Is because I know how dangerous these things are, and my wife has a cell phone and she loves her iPhone. And because I have a lifestyle really where I don't really need a cell phone, and it's easier and suits me better not to have one than to have one.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. And I know when I talk with Eric Wenheim on the show, he has a phone, but he has a flip phone, and he's measured, I believe he said maybe 1/4 of the amount of frequencies coming off of a flip phone compared to a smartphone. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's an article you have on your website about a lot of the symptoms that people could experience. The thing that's interesting about electrical sensitivity is it could nearly mimic so many things that the doctors would have no clue. I mean, this is anything from ringing in the ears, tinnitus, to cognitive difficulties, brain fog, you know, neurological issues like dizziness, nausea, insomnia, heart palpitations you wrote about here, fluctuating blood pressure, changed vision, emotional problems like depression, anxiety, anger, mood swings, musculoskeletal issues here, like cramping in the legs, the feet, tremors in the extremities, skin issues, which I've had not a ton, but I've had a handful of females who have had rashes from electromagnetic radiation. And once we were able to kind of talk over it on the phone and then mitigate some of it, the skin rashes went away. So I've seen that, you know, first or second hand, I guess you would call it. Gastrointestinal problems. That's interesting too. When you had problems, was that constipation? Was that diarrhea? What do you mean when you say gastrointestinal problems?
This is one I usually just skim over. Hey. It's not one I like to talk about too much.
Hey,
it wasn't constipation. It was, I guess, a dicky tummy is one way to put it. It was food sensitivity. Stomach pains. Yeah, certainly not constipation, more loose bowels, I guess. But it's symptoms which I'd never had before. And again, I mean, was it the EMFs? I don't know. We can't be 100% sure. But for instance, with radio frequency radiation, there are studies link radio frequency radiation to over 122 different biological effects. And this is the thing, is that for somebody, for a doctor, for you to go to the doctor and you have these symptoms, and him to say, oh, you've got electrical sensitivity, you've got an adverse reaction to EMFs, it's nearly impossible. Because there is so much, and you think of a disease, you think of a symptom, and then there'll be, yeah, I can nearly guarantee there will be some study which links EMF exposure to this symptom.
Right. Yeah, for me, I have to dial everything else in for someone first. So we have to get the diet straightened out. We have to get the lifestyle, make sure their gut's free of infections that could be causing loose stool. Make sure that we've gotten rid of candida overgrowth that could be causing brain fog. Make sure we've got their mitochondria looked at so we know they're producing enough energy at the cellular level. And then once all that's taken care of, then we can say, okay, look, we've ticked off everything on my check sheet here. Now we can move into the EMF stuff because everything else is already in place. Versus, like you said, if someone had a diet that was not good and they were eating foods they were sensitive to, let's say they were doing a bunch of gluten and dairy, that's going to be tough to say whether the brain fog and the loose stools caused from that, or could it be related to electronics? So you make a good point. Now, I want to focus a lot on what are the steps that people take. So I know you can measure, there's various devices out there. You've got the Cornet, you've got the 10 Mars, the Acoustimeter, you've got all these different meters which measure different types of electromagnetic fields. But let's say, give us the 72-hour breakdown of you going to travel. So you're in France, you're going to fly to the States, and you said a lot of the work that you're doing comes before you even get onto the plane. So talk us through that. What are you doing?
Well, it's not a 72-hour window. This is because what you need to understand, people that are listening to this, is that what the studies tell us is that these EMFs, the effects of these EMFs are cumulative. So it's not so you're sitting there listening to it and you're thinking, well, I'm fine, I'm not affected by EMFs. Nah, you don't know that. And I'm not saying you are, and I'm not putting everything on the back of EMFs either. But what I'm saying is there is a vast, there's a vast amount of evidence of scientific studies now linking these exposures to so many different symptoms and diseases, so many different biological effects. So the exposures are cumulative. So that means what this is all about, it's not about 72 hours, swallowing this pill or that, or, whatever, or doing some kind of preparation particularly for that. It's not that. It's about already creating the conditions in your home environment, firstly, which are conducive to optimum health. And that is, again, so it's about, it's not sexy, but it's about these dealing with these four categories of EMFs. And also, very simply, another way of looking at it is wired and wireless. And in terms of wireless, there are certain things which most homes have, devices that most homes have. And one is a Wi-Fi router. Another is cordless phones. And cell phones, there's ways to use cell phones which makes them much safer than the way that most people are using them. But already, and then there's so many other things, because we're living in this smart world now. So we have, because for instance, I've just changed my TV, and I tell you, to find a TV which does not have a smart, which is not a smart TV. So by smart, what I mean is, there is a device in it, an emitter receptor device, which works just like a cell phone, which sends a signal. And why do they have these devices in? Because all devices now are being most electrical appliances which are sold now, be it in Europe or in the US, are fitted with devices, these smart devices, which communicate with a smart meter, which is the electrical meter or the gas meter or whatever, or the electrical in this case, and which communicates back to the utility company. And so it's wireless communication. So these all these devices gradually are becoming more and more wireless. And so whether you like it or not, that is happening, and most people are completely oblivious to this. And so they're introducing everything that they renew now. You know, when your tumble dryer breaks down, when your washing machine breaks down, when your fridge freezer, we replaced our fridge freezer about 2 years ago now, 3 years ago maybe. I did a video on that. Got the thing, because everything that comes into my home, I get the EMF meter out and start measuring with it before it's allowed to stay.
That's what I was going to ask. Which meter did you whip out for testing your TV? Was it the Acoustimeter, or what were you using?
Well, before I ordered the TV, what I do is I like to work with people locally because they might think I'm a bit of a crackpot, particularly the people down at the electrical place. You know, when I go in there and they see me and I say to them, can you switch your cordless phone off? Can you switch your cell phones off? I go like just before they're going to close, you know, half an hour before they're going to close on a quiet day, because otherwise I can't test anything. So I need to be in an environment already where there's pretty much nothing going on in terms of RFs. And then I can test whatever device they're going to buy. With the case with the TV, wasn't able to do that because, you know, TVs nowadays, there's so many different brands of TVs and things. It was a question of sorting this out up front with the TV shop, that they order a TV which is not a smart TV, because they got information. I was asking about this. I was saying, look, I don't want a smart TV. And they were saying, well, actually, don't really know much about that. But the guy that we deal with, our distributor, they've got a guy there. He knows a lot about this. And I'm going to ask him which TV we need. And that was how we figured out which TV to buy. And so already I ordered the TV, which is not a smart TV, and it came in on Friday, actually, just a few days ago. And when the TV arrives, the guy sets it up and everything. And do I just say, well, okay, it's not a smart TV, so we're good to go? No, I don't, because you don't know now what's going on, don't believe what people tell you, your utility company or anybody else. You need to take the readings yourself, and that's why having a meter is so important. And so I got the meter out and I tested it, and it's all clean. There's nothing going on. So yeah,
what
so
meter?
That's what I do. I beg your pardon?
What meters did you use? Did you use multiple meters? Did you use just
so
one?
So for that, I use, for instance, for the TV, I get out my Acoustimeter. I tried and tested Acoustimeter. I've got a selection of meters. And I've got Acoustimeter, I've got Acousticom 2, I've got a Cornet, two Cornet meters, I've got a Tri-Field meter, so I've got gigahertz meters, so I've got quite a selection. But it's just, so I get the acoustic, I could really any good radio frequency meter. So it's a radio frequency meter you need to test this. And the Cornet, because I'm very at home with the Cornet, and it's very simple, and I'm used to using it, yeah.
Okay, so for
sorry,
TVs,
I beg your pardon, not the Cornet, I meant to say the Acoustimeter.
Okay,
the Acoustimeter, that's the one I use for that. On Friday, I got my Acoustimeter out and I was tested with my Acoustimeter.
So for TVs or anything in that category of electronics, you're going to be looking for RF fields. You're not typically worried about magnetic fields for those.
You're always looking at everything.
Right.
So whatever you really, you need to be periodically testing for dirty electricity, magnetic fields, electric fields, and radio frequency radiation. But my first concern with a new TV is radio frequency radiation. But certainly there could be, and I've not tested it yet, but that you give me the idea, is to see what's going on in terms of dirty electricity. But the old TV, it's not down at the scrapyard yet. It's down in the basement, and I won't get rid of the old TV until I'm 110% happy with the new TV.
Sure. So the Acoustimeter, that's the one you could also use for things like cell phones, Wi-Fi networks, smart meters, cell phone towers.
Correct.
Wireless.
Now, the thing is, yeah, you know, it's horses for courses with meters. So there is, and this is a, a question which people, you know, so on my website, it's a big open community on my website, and people ask me questions, and I try to keep up with answering them. There's lots of questions going on, but I did it yesterday. You know, I spent an hour or so going through and answering people's questions. And this is like a recurrent question is, what's the best meter? And of course, the simple answer is there is no best meter, because it just depends on your situation, what you're wanting to measure, and also what your budget is, because that's a big factor, you know, because the acoustimeter costs like $500. So everybody's not got $500 just to measure RF radiation. And I understand that. But then there's other meters which are, you know, a good trade-off. But I always say, you know, don't go cheap on this, because I'm a bit of a cheapskate, and this is the route I took, and it's to your expense if you do this. You know, long term it costs you more, so you do need to spend money on the right meters. But if for somebody, for people that are listening that are not, so the acoustimeter is a great meter if you've got the $500 firstly, and if you're electrically sensitive. Secondly, electrically hypersensitive, let's say, because I consider that everybody is electrically sensitive, because that's what the studies are telling us. So that the EMFs impact everybody. It's just that the people that are EHS, that they can feel it. So the acoustimeter, great meter. If you're electrically sensitive, you got the $500. If you don't, then I'd be more tempted to go towards, for instance, the Cornet ED88T. Now, there's lots of different Cornet meters, and the Cornet meter, why do I recommend that one particularly? This meter's only been out about 6 months, and because it's a 3 meters in one, and that's the beauty of it, is and there are other meters on the market which are 3 meters in one, but this meter has a very sensitive radio frequency capability, just like the acoustimeter. And that's why it really stands out head and shoulders above the rest for the price.
Yeah, and I talked with Eric when I had him on the show. Actually, I think we were talking on the phone after the show, but I asked him, when you're working as a consultant, would you trust the Cornet? And he said, I would not trust the Cornet for consultant work. It's not sensitive enough, but just to give you a good general reference range, is there an issue going on, it would be good enough.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. I got an acoustimeter in the mail, so we'll see. Because,
oh, good.
Yeah, because I have several friends locally that want me to check out their house and, you know, do some investigation. I've worked enough with the dirty electricity and the magnetic fields to know some stuff, but I'm just now getting into the RF, you know, RF detection and mitigation. What I was doing, I told people on the show before, what I was doing is I took my Wi-Fi router. And this was at the old house before I found out we had massive magnetic fields coming off the power lines and we had to move. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
What I had done is taken the Wi-Fi router and I turned the output setting down to 1%. So basically, mm-hmm. if you were 30 feet away from the Wi-Fi router, you couldn't pick it up. But having a baby daughter, something told me, look, this is something that I don't even want to give the risk for, especially with a softer skull. So I've gone completely hardwired now. I have zero Wi-Fi. And in my case, I think it makes a lot of sense, because where we're at, we're on a pretty big property. There's no other Wi-Fis around. There's mm-hmm. nothing. Now, I guess I'm kind of answering my own question here, but it seems like, yes, it may help a little bit. But if you live in a dense urban area where there's 50 Wi-Fis, when you go scanning on your laptop and you just remove your own Wi-Fi, I mean, you're reducing your risk, but not by much, right? I mean, really, the issue is where you are.
No, you are actually reducing your risk. How much? You see, the thing to understand here is that RF radiation, radio frequency radiation, it works, it falls off exponentially. The exposures fall off exponentially with distance.
Ah.
So this is like, this changes everything.
Okay.
So you only need to get a small distance away to get a big gain. And the figures that I always quote is, for instance, with a cell phone. If you're using a cell phone, you're putting a cell phone next to your ear, and then you move it about 6 inches away from your ear, which is about 100 times further from your brain. Well, that 100 times further away is actually converts to a 10,000 reduction in exposure, 10,000 times less exposure, because it's 100 times 100. It's exponential. And that's why it's super, super important to not say, oh, well, the neighbors have got Wi-Fi. You know, well, it's not going to change anything if I get rid of my Wi-Fi. It will. It will, because of the way that these exposures manifest.
That makes sense. And maybe I'm completely wrong, and this is a whole nother field of discussion, but I had a friend come on the show. His name's Jack Cruz, and he calls it the inverse square law. Is that the same thing where basically...
Correct.
Okay.
The inverse square law. Exactly. That is exactly it. Yeah.
Okay, so let me get this straight then. So if you can still measure other Wi-Fis, but you've gotten rid of your own Wi-Fi, yes, the laptop may be able to detect that Wi-Fi, and you don't need to leave your computer on just scanning for it if you're using Ethernet. So you can turn off the function where you're just searching for Wi-Fi all day. But even though you could still pick it up, if your distance is away, you're much safer.
Correct.
Okay.
And the other thing to understand is that laptop, it's not just searching, it's actually emitting a signal.
Right.
If when it's searching, it's emitting a signal. So that's why you don't want to have your laptop. That's the other mistake that people make, is that they replace their Wi-Fi with a hardwired version. You know, they go Ethernet, but then they forget to deactivate the wireless function on their devices.
Yeah. How about Bluetooth and all of that too? I mean, by default, I know by default. You know, and I tell my wife all this stuff all the time too. A lot of the times, if you first turn on a phone or a computer, everything's on. So you have Bluetooth, yes, sending out signal, you have Wi-Fi sending out signals, and those are things, yes, that you just forget, and you just think, oh, yes, it's... What about location services too? Is that a signal? Have you measured?
What do you mean by location services?
So like on laptops, for example, like on MacBooks, you can have a location service built in. I disable everything humanly possible to disable. But yes, by default, there is a location service on,
right,
you know, say a smartphone.
No, I've not measured that. No, okay. No. Because I'm on a desktop.
Yeah.
And my wife's got a kind of oldish laptop. So I guess that wasn't a feature, was it? But we're all Mac, the same as you. And I've not measured that specifically.
Okay, because I know on the iPhone too, location services will be built in, turned on for GPS, and then for theft, if somebody steals it, you can try to track the phone.
Yes. Now, well, the thing is, with GPS, that is only a receiver, because that works by triangulation. So it's calculating in relation to the satellites, okay, where exactly you are. It doesn't actually send a signal. But having said that, when I was at my most electrically sensitive, I couldn't bear, you know, being in a vehicle with GPS. The GPS upset me also.
Really? Okay. Now,
so what I'm saying here is, just to make the point, is that this is all actually physics, although people don't really understand it. This is all kind of, it's not mainstream, but it's actually, it's physics. It's Newton classic physics. But then there's a whole other side to it, which is a subtle energy side. And that's why, which my approach encompasses, because it's something that you cannot ignore, and because these subtle effects, and the term's a little bit misleading, they can just be as damaging to your health as, you know, kind of big sledgehammer effects.
Right, right. That makes sense. It's a Vimeo channel, so not YouTube, but on Vimeo. It's called electromagnetichealth.org. If you type that in, people listening, if you go to Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, Vimeo.com, the video service, and you look up electromagnetichealth.org, they just put out a bunch of videos. Apparently, there was like this big summit. They had this guy, Dr. Suliman Kaplan, and they had Dr. Mary Redmayne and Dr. Martin Paul from Washington State University, Dr. Deborah Davis, which... I'm hoping to chat with her on the show soon. We had just on and on and on this entire expert forum on children and cell phones and Wi-Fi and et cetera. And when I really saw the visual graph, I'll put up the links for people if you want to go check it out. It'll be at notjustpaleo.com. And then if you just search EMF on my website, you'll find it. I'm going to put the show notes up for Lloyd and all of his info. But also I want people to check out these videos, because if you look at the chart of the frequencies, starting at the low end to the high end of frequencies, nature really does have a pretty, you know, a pretty good cutoff after a certain frequency. I'm trying to find the video now so I can tell you what it is.
Right. So you're talking about, are you talking about the electromagnetic spectrum?
Right. Well, so the spectrum is one, but I'm talking mainly about the frequencies. There's a little chart here that I saw where basically after, I want to say it was like maybe 1500 millihertz that the natural background radiation drops off, but that's where Wi-Fi and 4G and 5G connections fill in. So basically it just shows
so
how...
So megahertz, actually. So it's not, it's actually megahertz. Yeah. And it's... So we kind of simplify things to understand, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. Because, for instance, there are some cell phone frequencies which work at 800 megahertz. So if you get, so the 1,000 megahertz is one gigahertz. and so you've got cell phones which are working, some are working at 800 megahertz, some are working at 1,800 megahertz. And then you've, but generally we talk about Wi-Fi, which is in the gigahertz range. So it's like, 2.4 gigahertz, which is actually 2,400 megahertz. And so all that is obviously people, it sounds so complicated, but it's, I mean, I've been through this hundreds of times. It's not really that complicated. But the thing to understand is that these EMFs, which I talk about on my website, these are man-made invisible forces which don't exist in nature. They're completely unnatural. For instance, cell phone frequencies, what the science is telling is so dangerous about these cell phone frequencies is it's not particularly because there's two signals actually. There's like a carrier signal and there's a modulated signal which has got the data. It's not the carrier signal, it's the modulated signal. It's a pulsing. It's this pulsing which this does not exist in nature, and it's very low level effects. And you're thinking low level, that means it doesn't really matter, but it does, and that's what the studies are telling us. It matters. And again, you know, where I'm coming from is I know nothing about studies. It was nothing at all, and it was just boom, one day to the next, this thing hit me like a juggernaut. And then I went to look at the studies. And why did I look at the studies? Because, I wanted to understand what was going on. And also, I guess, because I wanted to say to people, well, look, there are actually studies here. This is not all in my head. It does exist. And so there are thousands and thousands of studies about this. But obviously, people don't read the studies. And that's really why I started talking about it, because I was thinking, well, you know, I'm just a regular guy. This happened to me. It could happen to you. And that's essentially my message. And so on the one hand, I'm sort of, it's an awareness message. And on the other, I'm very focused on solutions, because I couldn't just, you know, I don't like scaremongering. And so I put the information out. But there are solutions. But the truth is the solutions, there's no quick fix. This is a really important thing I say to people, because there's a lot of things which have been sold on the internet which lead people to believe that is, you know, it's something you can just buy, stick it on your phone, and it makes it perfectly safe. That is not true. You know, and so there's so many things you can do, but it's a long-term approach. And so that's, you know, and which was saying before, when you said about a 72-hour window before you go on a flight, sure, you can take some stuff and try and get good sleep and things like that, but it's more of it's a long-term approach. That's what pays off here even.
I understand. So basically, in my situation now, I've done not everything. I don't turn off the circuit breakers in the house at night. I've not done that. But let's just say that my levels of exposure are the most minimal they could be, and then I want to go travel. I've read about some of the shielding sheets. Is it silver that they put in the sheets? Is it silver that
it can be?
Okay,
silver thread. Yeah, there's various brands, there's various, it's all synthetic materials. Now, the other thing is, I always say to people, shielding is always a last resort.
Okay.
It's always a last resort. So, you remember what I said to you before? Three ways of dealing. You either, with these EMFs, you either turn off, you increase your distance, or you shield. So shielding is a last resort. Because why? Because my approach is a natural approach. So it's an approach... It's about embracing, you know, there's laws of nature, you know, because our biology is not that much different to the caveman. And so, you know, the closer so that's a test you can run, is thinking, well, would the caveman have done this? Would the caveman have lived like this? Would the caveman have lived in a bedroom where you've got notably electric fields and often radio frequency radiation? I mean, there's some things you can deal with, there's other things you can't. So everything that you can do, you know, fairly easily, then you do it. And it's all about baby steps, because you can't do everything at once, but you do need to be aware of these dangers. And just, you know, so for you even who've done already quite a lot and have got a good understanding of this, then the next baby step would be, yeah, so then it's dealing with this radio frequency radiation, certainly. You're going to have the great me to do that. And then, but I wouldn't be looking towards shielding particularly, unless it would be an absolute last resort. And if it was shielding, then it would be possibly shielding the windows, for instance, because that's fairly easy to do, and that is a kind of a weakest link, if you want, over your windows. But certainly full room shielding, you know, creating the Faraday cage, that is last resort kind of thing.
The other
thing I would be doing in your case, just to finish up, is I would be looking at introducing a demand switch, which automatically cuts the power circuits in your bedroom and around your bedroom. And that's something which is not terribly expensive to do, and any electrician can do that. And that is, again, because it's so important that you create the right conditions at night, because that's when your body heals. You know, that's when your cells rejuvenate, regenerate, you've got detox going on, you've got a production of melatonin and so many different, you know, hormonal processes, that if you throw EMFs into all that, then that's when we get kind of long-term health issues.
Ah, well said. Okay. Yeah, and I agree with you that shielding's last resort. I'm just talking about for airline travel, for example. If you travel airline, now let's say all year you've done all the good stuff to protect yourself. Yeah. Are you still going to do extra steps? Let's say you've done everything. No. Are you worried about it, or do you just fly?
No. And that's the other thing, is that's, you know, which is part, because I do coaching for people who suffer from electrical sensitivity. And this is the other thing. You do not want to worry about this. And this is obviously easier said than done, because then you're putting your body into fight or flight.
Absolutely.
And you've got the sympathetic nervous system, which takes over, and it's creating all, you know, your adrenal, through your adrenal glands, creating all kinds of chemicals, which you're shooting yourself in the foot. So, you know, it's all about not being worried about this. It's actually taking action without being worried. But the problem is that people are not actually aware of this at all, and then suddenly, boom, they suddenly become electrically sensitive, sometimes overnight or sometimes over a period, and then it is very, very, very difficult to recover.
Right. Yeah, I typically don't worry too much about it. It's on my radar. It's important, but I try not to stress out about it, for sure. So I do encourage people, if you're listening and it does worry you, you know, press pause.
Don't worry. Just take the advice. Don't worry, but just act on the advice.
Right. And that's good. I think, to be honest, I think that is the best way not to worry, is to just take action steps. I would say someone maybe should be more concerned if they hear it, but they don't do anything about it. But if you're taking baby steps, like you mentioned, I think that's the best way to really get rid of the worry. And a lot of this stuff, I mean, look at you. You're a perfect example of what I see every week, is that a lot of these symptoms can be reversed in most
cases.
They
can. But it's fairly rare, I think. There's not that many people who've recovered from this. I've spoken to, because I do interviews also, and I've spoken to a few different people, a few doctors, a handful, to my knowledge, you know, have really recovered from this, because it is incredibly difficult. And there's so many different aspects, you know, and there is, because it's like you need to have a holistic approach to health. So the EMFs, sure, you got to deal with that. But then when you've dealt with that, the EMFs are only the trigger, but there's a whole lot of other things going on usually. And one of the biggest potentially is actually emotional issues. And even if you're like really level-headed, everything's, because I didn't think I had any emotional issues, but I certainly did. You know, I just kind of, you know, love my work and everything, and I say everything was going great relationship and all that, but there's still, you know, emotional issues, and that is, I think, often overlooked, and that can be a major toxin.
Ah, now are you talking about like repressed emotions, traumas? Exactly.
Yeah, repressed emotions, traumas, and it's often going back to childhood.
Yeah.
Things which and it's there in our it's like subconscious programming, if you want. So it's stuff which we don't even realize that stuff's there, but it is. And this kind of and you know your subconscious, as Dr. Bruce Lipton says, 95% of your reality. And so you've got all this, all these programs are actually dictating what your life is. And so if you know, you have to look at these elements, and the emotional one is a big one. Certainly, in my experience, you know, for myself, it was an important issue, and pretty much everybody that I've worked with has always been an emotional component.
I agree 100%. My take on the whole thing, and I measure it too. I look at people who say they have zero stress, but when we look at their adrenals, they have major dysfunction with their whole system. And my take on the emotional component is the body, like you said, it's stuck in fight or flight mode. So even if someone's not worried or stressed right now, their subconscious programming for the last 25 years since they got in a car wreck,
yeah,
every time they see brake lights, they freak out, they go into fight or flight.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
I agree 100%.
And it's like a program response. It's like a downloaded response. It's totally irrational.
Yep.
And they're doing this and they don't even realize.
I know. Well, and it happens so quickly too.
I beg your pardon?
I said, and it happens so quickly too. I've been reading a lot about how quickly the amygdala, the fear center can, I mean, it's less than once. I mean, we're talking milliseconds, how rapidly you could hear a dog barking and you got bit by a dog 20 years ago, so you're paranoid of dogs. You hear that dog bark less than a fraction of a second and your fight or flight system has already responded to it, which to me, it sounds like anything that is sapping your resistance or sapping your resilience, rather, is a better word, including the infections and all of that I work on, but to the traumas, because if that bucket is drained or the bucket's full, either way you want to look at it,
yes,
EMF could be that last thing to put you over.
And again, it's not just EMFs, but the thing that, you know, looking at the studies, is that it's like EMFs plus another toxin, and there's this kind of synergy, and it's like just like blows the thing wide open,
right?
And that's the EMFs, it's the way that they affect our cells right down to the DNA. You know, we've got over 50 studies, 50 independent studies, which are linking EMF exposures to DNA damage.
Yep, it's literally damaging DNA. That's crazy. And I was actually, before we talked, I wanted to kind of look at the latest research yesterday. I was actually finding a couple of PubMed articles on the link between autism and EMF as well. And then I kept digging further and further, and then you come across the discussion of leaky gut, and then you come across the discussion of leaky brain or a permeable blood-brain barrier, which could also be influenced by things like gluten or food sensitivities. So
yeah, you know, over 20 studies are linking EMFs to blood-brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've known about this since the 1970s. But again, you're absolutely right, even. It's not just the EMFs. And I'd love to say it would now. I mean, it's not, I'd love to say it is, I don't want to make it any more important than it is. But it is really, this is not to say it's not important. It is just hugely important, folks, to listen to, you know, not just me, but to get some good information on this. For instance, the Bioinitiative Report, if you're somebody who likes to delve into the studies, and that's a great resource, Bioinitiative Report, first published in 2007, republished in 2012, which has got 1,800 studies, 2,000 studies in the first report, 1,800 studies in the second report, and they're you know, really good resources. But yeah, it's not just EMFs, it's EMFs plus the other toxins.
Right. Yeah, the Bioinitiative Report, you can get that online. I've looked it up. I've read it. It is really, really awesome. So that's a great resource.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad that we got to hash some of this stuff out. It's good to really have a conversation about it because when you're sitting there on the computer and you're reading stuff, sometimes you can just get paralyzed. So I think a lot of what we did today is really helpful for people to understand that, look, there are action steps to be taken. Don't just read the stuff and then freak out and then just feel like you can't go anywhere ever. Now, here's a question for you. In France, do they have the, I'm going to call them like the theft prevention devices, like right by the doors, where if you walk out with something that has one of those little micro.
Yes.
Okay, do you walk
In
through
shop, in
those?
shops, you mean?
Well, no. So, at least in the States, when you go to exit a store, for example, they
Yeah.
have these two towers that are about 5 feet tall,
That's right. We got those.
and you walk through them, and if there's a little
Yeah.
barcode on something and you've stolen it or it didn't get deactivated, the alarm goes off.
Yeah, of course, with the tags.
Now, then sometimes you have to do those, but sometimes you can go through just a manual door that doesn't have those. Do you walk through those today? Do
Oh
you?
yeah.
Okay.
And so, to get back, because you asked me the question about the, I live normally. I live, oh, I say I live normally. I live, I don't have any wireless in my home, and it's a low EMF environment. I live in a low EMF environment, and that is the key. And so once you create that low EMF environment, then you reap benefits many, 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 many times over for years and years and years and years.
I
And
agree.
though, so that's why when I get on the plane, I'm okay. And so, for instance, we went to Crete about, when was it? About 2 months ago. And then the air traffic controllers called a strike. And my wife got an email through at 5 a.m. in the morning to say that our flight had been cancelled. So we're stuck on this Greek island of Crete. And I said to my Emmanuel, look, I've got to get back because I've got an interview on the Thursday. Our flight was due out on the Monday. And they're saying, that, so we went to the airport. They're saying we've got no plane until like a week later. I said, well, no, I want to get back. So we took the ferry back to Athens and, slept all night in this ferry with the Wi-Fi and everything, got to the hotel and everything was in the Wi-Fi and everything. And then we had to get two flights to get back home, going via Lyon. Spent like 5 hours sleeping under fluorescent lights, didn't actually sleep a wink all night on those hard metal chairs. And then got another flight from Lyon back to Bordeaux. Got back into Bordeaux at like 8 a.m. or something like that. Just a horrible, horrible journey. And honestly, I got back here and I was feeling knackered. That means in English, American English, I don't know how you translate that, but completely wiped out. And yeah, I mean, if there was a time when I was going to feel really electrically sensitive, that would be it. And so, and I didn't. I didn't. That's the thing, because. And I've been using my computer and everything in the hotel room. And anyway, when I go away, I'm all Wi-Fi. And the thing is, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. And that's because I've done this the long-term work of creating this environment where I'm not reacting to these EMFs.
Absolutely. That's well said. And if you're home a lot of the time or you work from home, I mean, that makes your situation even better. That way, at least you could do is make your sleeping environment as close to a sanctuary as you possibly can. And then the next step would be mitigate the environment where you're working
If you can, and
if
it's
you
not
can.
always a, yeah, it's not always possible, but
Right.
yeah, certainly the place to start is in the bedroom.
Yep.
And in the bedroom, if you can get all that, 110% in the bedroom, then that is say that that will pay dividends for many years.
Agreed, agreed. What a great investment.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Lloyd, I'm sure we could go on and on. We got to wrap this thing up, but I appreciate your wisdom and your advice. And, you have a good level head around this whole issue. So we'll send people back to your website. They could check it out, Electric Sense. So that's SENSE, Electric Sense. And they can check it out. You got all sorts of different articles here. And I appreciate the videos. I think that's the coolest part. Now,
Thank you.
you wrote about this low radiation Wi-Fi router.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd ask me about
And
that.
so it sounds like basically it's a normal router, but then a guy that you know
I
has.
didn't know him.
Oh,
No,
you
I didn't
didn't know
know
him.
him. I just no. What happened was, actually, it was somebody commented on it on my website about this guy in Holland. And so I contacted him, sent him an email, and said, "Oh, I heard about your Wi-Fi, your router, I've got this website, and he said, oh, I can send you one if you like. So he sent me one, and I did some tests, and I made the video, and yeah, and so it's awesome. And this guy, used to work for in the research lab, his PhD, electrical engineer, and became electrically sensitive, started reacting to Wi-Fi, and he was working on the cell phone technology, and so that was it. He quit working on them, and a few years later, he set up this company dedicated to creating technologies which are low EMF, and he brought this low radiation Wi-Fi router out a while back now, and which exists in three versions. And it's actually rather amazing what he's done, because it's so amazing. It's like one of those things where you say, well, why didn't somebody think of this before? Because it seems so darn obvious. And the thing is, in a nutshell, even is this, just very quickly, because I know we're over time, but you said to me you reduced the transmit power on your Wi-Fi router. Well, he's got that on it as well, okay? But the real game changer with what he's done is he has created some software which changes the pulsing on the Wi-Fi router. So classic Wi-Fi, so that's like Wi-Fi's all over the world, they emit at 10 hertz. And all that means is there's like 10 pulses per second. And what that means is when you listen to this on a acoustic meter, is it sounds like a machine gun. It's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because we've got 10 pulses a second. And what he did is he created an alternative, which Wi-Fi, which has the same performance. And this is the important thing to understand. You don't have to trade out. You don't have to have less, functionality, less data download performance. Got the same performance as normal Wi-Fi, but it's only pulsing at one pulse per second. So one hertz. Ah. And so you've got 90 up to 90% less exposure.
That's pretty cool. Now, you still don't use it, though. You're hardwired.
I'm not using it, because why would I introduce Wi-Fi into my nice wireless wireless free accommodation? I wouldn't do that. It doesn't make any sense. And so, yeah, I reviewed this, and when I review it, I do make very clear my views on this, and that is that the safest way to connect to the internet is a wired connection. I'm not going to change that, because this is a wonderful invention, and because that's the truth. But there are people who are looking for Wi-Fi, and there are people, for instance, who don't have Wi-Fi but have got neighbors that do have it, and they buy this thing, this low radiation device for the neighbors, for instance. That's another possibility. Or they convince their boss to install it at work, or they, Jan Rudger Schreider did, who developed this system, he convinced his school to introduce it into his school.
Ah, excellent, excellent. Yeah, I know Wi-Fi in schools is a huge issue, and I believe wasn't France one of the countries that's banned Wi-Fi in schools?
Yes, correct. Yes, in not all schools, in maternelle, what we call like pre-primary.
Ah, excellent, excellent. That's incredible. Yeah, so that's for the knuckleheads who don't want to listen. You can...
Well, they're still listening.
Right, I know.
It's a really, like I say, it's baby steps. Right. And this thing, it's pretty cool. You can set the Wi-Fi to go off at certain times at night. For instance, there's no point in sleeping at night with the Wi-Fi switched on at all. So you should be, that's another thing you can do very easily. So it's created this package, which is a low radiation solution, low EMF solution to Wi-Fi.
Cool. Yeah. And people, you can read about that on Lloyd's website. You'll see it. Something I'm doing, Lloyd, this is the last thing I'll tell you. I purchased a USB-C to Ethernet adapter for my smartphone. I've completely disabled Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, location, data, etc. I hardly ever touch my phone. It's usually in the other room somewhere. I usually check it like twice a week, and then there's 20 voicemails and 50 text messages on there, and people are mad at me. But
yeah.
So what I've done, because there's certain apps, like for example, Facebook Live, you cannot do Facebook Live, which is something I'd like to do so I could take, live questions and answers for my audience. You can't do that on a computer unless you buy a very, very expensive software. And also, it's just logistically a lot easier to use the phone for certain applications. Instagram now, they're doing a live function. Twitter, they're doing a live function. And I want to be able to connect with people, but I'm not willing to use Wi-Fi or data to do that. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a hardwired phone, which would be pretty cool. So if people, if you want to check out that experiment, I'm going to be measuring and showing it. Just go to my YouTube channel. Just type in Evan Brand and you'll find it. But you can go subscribe to the channel. I'll be making a video. And Lloyd, I'll send it to you too so you can kind of see how the setup works. But I believe it's going to be the best solution for me to not miss out on some of the functionality that a lot of these companies, they're leaving the desktop or the laptops behind because technology evolves so quickly with apps on smartphones that for certain business things, you almost need one if you're trying to connect with people. So I'll publish a video about that probably in the next month by, you know, mid-January or so. You should have a video, you know, in your inbox.
Yeah, great. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I look forward to that.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks for your time. Is there anything else you want to say to people before we end this thing?
Well, I guess the thing to say that I just really is really important for me is the reason, one of the reasons, perhaps the most important reason I start talking about this is for our kids. And I'm a father, and I just couldn't sit there and know what I knew and having, you know, experienced this thing. It's like I say, it's not like book learning. I actually experienced what EMFs can do, and I just couldn't sit there and not do anything about it. So what I would say to you folks, if you do have kids, you know, if you want to carry on using a cell phone, that's your choice, but don't, you know, you've got to listen up here about what cell phones are doing to kids. Kids are way more vulnerable to cell phone radiation than adults are, and children should not be using cell phones at all. And my views might seem extreme, but again, it's backed up on my own experience, and the studies are there. You know,
I agree. What age, if you had to pick an age, I've seen some stuff, 12, age 13,
you know,
16.
I got two kids. My oldest is 17 now, and the thing is, my kids, they had self, my daughter, I think she had one from, I don't know, 13 or 14, I would think. So the thing is, you can't start. I'm not saying, you know, start while I'm in an ideal world, but then I guess in some ways I'm a hypocrite because even my kids had them. But the thing is, the difference is my kids had them, but they saw what the cell phone did to me, you know, when I was sick. And so they use them responsibly. And you know, we've got a rule about no cell phones in bedrooms, and so it's not really, I mean, at that age, I'm talking more about young children, like children under 10, and there's no cutoff point, obviously. It's not like 10 you're suddenly okay,
right?
But what I'm saying is, small children, you know, you see toddlers with these things, and it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. But there's a whole philosophy about how you actually use a cell phone, and that's what kids, you know, need to be taught. So there's a lot to learn on this issue. Kids have got a lot to learn about this.
Agreed. Well, thanks for your time, and it's great chatting with you.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that episode. As I mentioned, I apologize for this crappy audio right here. I'm using a little built-in headset since I didn't bring the podcasting setup to the beach. However, I will be back next week, and I will talk to you again real soon. In the meantime, you can schedule that 15-minute free call with myself back at notjustpaleo.com. Bye-bye.
He acts like it's all good, yeah, like everything's cool. Kiss her girl goodnight and then he leaves her. She doesn't have a clue that he's terrible blues. Why I'm in the tire, got to watch out, girl. Don't wanna see her by your eyes out, girl. Cause I've been watching, you've been hurting. Let me be the one that loves you better.